Bibles today over to Psalm 37, verses 1 through 8. I wanted Joanna to sing that song about a month ago, but because of weather conditions and sicknesses and different things, it didn't happen. And so I've been bugging her ever since to sing that. And praise the Lord, she was over her flu bug from last week and able to sing today. Thank you, Joanna. Psalm 37. It's good to have our visitors here, the Murphys. God bless you folks. Really good to see you. Looking forward to getting to know you a little more. God bless you. All right. Brother, Mr. Escobar was, well, he was here earlier and he had to leave, but it's good to see him too. All right. Psalm 37, starting with verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light, and thy judgment as a noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we can have a copy of your word in each of our hands. And you have blessed us so much in this country, the freedoms that we have. We are so grateful for that. We're grateful, Lord, for your just your many, many blessings in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for our church and for being able to meet freely. And Lord, we thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you for going to that old rugged cross and shedding your precious blood there on the cross for us, Lord Jesus, and taking our sin away, paying our sin debt for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the home in heaven you are providing for us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit and the indwelling of your Spirit in our hearts. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for being a Father to us, a wonderful Father, a compassionate, loving Father who looks upon us as, yes, weak children and sometimes stumbling children, but your children nonetheless. We thank you, Lord. Bless our preaching now. May it bring honor and glory to your name. Fill me with your Spirit as I speak and control everything that I say, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to call your attention especially to verses 7 and 8 today. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. The title of the message today is taken from verse 8 there. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. I want to speak to you today about anger and wrath. Somebody has said that anger, like fire, finally dies out, but only after leaving a path of destruction. Benjamin Franklin said, "Whatever is begun in anger ends in shame." Someone has said, "Anger takes control of the mind and turns sane men and women into raving lunatics. Anger will cause you to say things you wouldn't ordinarily say. It will cause you to do things you would not ordinarily do. Anger will make you act like a fool. Anger will make you do things that you will have to repent of later. Anger helps keep prison guards and wardens, doctors and psychiatrists, lawyers and divorce court judges employed. Anger ruins relationships. Do you know that? Anger ruins relationships. Anger destroys homes. It destroys friendships. Anger separates siblings from each other and massacres marriages. And 20 years later, maybe you thought that your anger didn't hurt anything, that explosive thing. You just flared up once and said things that you shouldn't have said, but it's 20 years later now, surely that's forgotten and forgiven. Maybe, but maybe not. Oftentimes there are lingering consequences for our anger. And we need to consider how serious that is. I was talking to Carlos last night about how that if parents could only see down the road 20 years from now, and what they're doing today and how it will affect the lives of their children and their own marriages perhaps 20 years down the road. Could we just put ourselves 20 years ahead here and then just look back and say, if I had only not said those words in a fit of anger. It is so destructive and so long-lasting. There are great consequences for anger. Even the secular world recognizes the destructiveness, the devastation of anger. Oftentimes, prisoners who are imprisoned because of their anger have to go through some kind of anger management counseling. So even the secular world understands the damage of anger. So the scripture tells us here in Psalm 37, verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. But the first question that comes up in our minds is, well, is all anger wrong? Is all anger wrong? And I know we've discussed this somewhat. But the reasons given are, well, what about God? God gets angry, and certainly he does. We have many, many scriptures about God's anger and about God's wrath. But we need to ask the question, first of all, why does God get angry? In Psalm 7, verse 11, it says, God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Now, you know that you can be angry with somebody and love them at the same time? I've been angry at my wife before, but I love my wife. I've been angry at my children, but I love my children. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God loves the unsaved. God loves the wicked, but he's also angry at the wicked because of their sin. He hates their sin. He's angry at the wicked. But he loves the sinner. Now, there are other references, many, many references to the anger or the wrath of God. We won't take time to go through all of them, but just hit a couple highlights here. In Revelation chapter 14, if you have your Bible, you might want to turn there. Revelation 14, verses 9 through 11. when we read about the wrath of God, it's kind of scary, actually, when you think about it. It shouldn't be for us as believers, because, praise God, he has not appointed us to wrath. Amen? Amen? Okay, I thought y'all went to sleep on me there for a minute. All right, Revelation 14, verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb." That's an awesome thought. When we stop and consider that. He will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, poured out without mixture. Verse 11, "And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." And then look over to chapter 6 and verse 15. Chapter 6, verse 15 through 17. "And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb." When I read that, I thought to myself, that's pretty interesting. A lamb is not very threatening. You know? A lamb is not an aggressive animal. Why is he called the Lamb there? Why isn't he called the Lion of the tribe of Judah there? You know? Well, the wrath of the Lamb. You see, he gave his life as the Lamb of God, didn't he? Shed his precious blood. And those who scorn his blood and scorn the sacrifice that he has made, one day are going to face the wrath of the Lamb. I want to tell you, if you're not saved here today, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, you are scorning what God has, what Christ has done for you. The Lamb of God shed his precious blood on the cross. You're scorning that. And if you don't get saved, one day you're going to be faced with the wrath of the Lamb. Verse 17 says, "For the great day of his wrath has come. And who shall abide, who shall be able to stand? The great day of his wrath." So, God is a God of wrath. There's many scriptures about that. Now, we wonder where our anger comes from. We were created in the image of God. You know what that means? We have the potential for wrath, for anger, like God does. See? Because we're created in the image of God. But the problem comes in that our wrath or our anger that we have been created with has been poisoned by our sinful nature, making righteous indignation virtually impossible. I'm not going to say that it's impossible, but I'm saying it's very close to it. Difficult for us to be angry and not sin. Very difficult. So the first question, is anger always wrong? Well, at least we're going to have to say most of the time it is. Most of the time it's because of self that we're angry, you know. Because somebody's hurt us or hurt something about us, or, you know, we flare up because it affects us somehow. But in James chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." We're going to talk more about that in a little bit, but slow to wrath. "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." So in other words, man doesn't have the ability to have the righteous indignation that God has, you see, because of our sinful nature. So, you see, anger is such a passion. It's been said that it's perhaps one of the strongest, maybe the strongest passion that human beings have. And therefore, it's the hardest to control. And therefore, it's the most susceptible to the sinful nature. So James says, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Now, another question that comes up is, what about Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26? You might as well turn there in your Bible, and we'll look at that for a minute. Ephesians 4, 26 and actually 27. "For it says there, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath." So is this telling us that it is not sin to be angry? Well, let's analyze this a little bit. Let's consider this verse. Actually, the intent of the verse is that if you get angry, get it under control quickly before it turns into bad sin. Okay? That's kind of the intent of the verse. And if you look at verse 27, it says, "Neither give place to the devil." Now, that's connected. That's the same thought. So when we get angry, we are giving place to the devil. We are opening the door to the devil, allowing this anger to take control of us and be a big problem. And it's usually an explosive outburst, giving place to the devil. But also in this verse, we see that if we do get angry, we're to quickly get it under control. That's what being spirit controlled is all about. Or one of the things that it's all about, being able to control our anger. And so it says, "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Now, most of the time we read that and we say, "Well, okay, it's not right to go to bed angry, you know. You need to get it settled before you go to bed." And that's the intent of the verse. And that's certainly true. However, I think there's more to it than that. There's something we're missing here. Because I think this may be also metaphoric language in that the fact that, you know, "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." In other words, get it dealt with quickly. You know, don't let this thing go on. Get it dealt with quickly. Jesus said in Matthew 5:25, "Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him." So in other words, the thought here is, if you start to get angry, deal with it quickly. Get it under control quickly. Say, "Man, I just can't do that. The old adrenaline flares up in me. I just blow off." And, oh, brother, what a wake you leave behind you of destruction. So, then let's also look at the context more of this verse, because verses 26 right on down through verse 32 are kind of the same idea, same context. And And it's brought up again in verse 31. And so, which I think verse 31, 32 kind of summarizes the previous verses. So let's read that. Let all bitterness, verse 30, 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger, there it is, wrath and anger, and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and then be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We're going to look at that verse a little bit more in a little bit. So you have to look at the context there. And to say that, it must not be sin to get angry because of verse 26, you got to look at the whole context. Because let all bitterness and wrath and anger and so on be put away from you. All right, there are two kinds of anger that are spoken about in the Bible, in the New Testament. And I think it would be good for us to analyze these a bit. So that we really can get a handle on this. The two words normally that are used for anger and wrath are the word thumos and what's the other one? How do you pronounce it? Orge, I guess. Thumos, T-H-U-M-O-S. And orge is O-R-G-E. Anyway, you don't care about that. But the word thumos actually, by the way, what English word do you think that might have come from that word at one time? Thumos. Can you guess? Huh? You want to guess? What is it? Thermometer, thermal, you know, heat, right? That's exactly what the word means. See? Heat. It means explosive heat. The word thumos, the word that is, it's usually translated wrath. In fact, I believe it's always translated wrath. Is a word that it just means a heated burst of just an explosion, if you please. There's words that come flying out of your mouth that you would never normally say. Now, you know, it could even be physical. Sometimes people wind up in jail because of that, because of this word, okay? It could be physical. But usually, we'll talk about more in the Christian realm. Usually, it's going to be verbal and body language. You know, actually, I probably should demonstrate this. One of you guys want to help me here? Joshua, you're on the end there. Why don't you come up and help me? Okay. Now I've gotten angry at Joshua before, so he's used to it. No, I have to tell you something. I have gotten angry at this guy, haven't I? Huh? Oh, I have. Huh? See, Joshua helped me do most of the work on this building. I mean, a lot of other guys helped too, but Joshua and I, we were working on this building every day for, what, a year and a half?
A long time,
yeah, I know. He was my buddy, my helper, and every once in a while he'd do something wrong. And I spout off at him, you know. And I had to apologize to him. Man, I tell you what, just stay there for a minute. I got to talk for a minute, okay? Folks, I'm not just preaching to you today. I'm preaching to me, too. Okay? See, I know that I got a huge anger problem. And I have... This is a besetting sin that I have had to deal with. And my family knows this very well. I can remember when the older kids were younger, I can remember so often disciplining them in anger. I remember the last time I spanked Melissa. Oh, I wanted to forget about that, Missy. But she was too old probably to be spanked, but she really did need spanked. But I got so angry. When I got done spanking, I used a switch, you know. When I got done spanking her, I threw the switch across the room. I was so angry at her. Remember that, Missy? I'm not proud of that. I'm absolutely ashamed of it. That was thumos. See? You got all that body language going on with it, too. I'll just demonstrate it here, okay? Now, will you forgive me ahead of time? You stupid jerk! Why did you do that? Now, you notice the tone of my voice? Huh? Was it nice and kind? No, of course not. Did you notice the body language? See? Now, I didn't hit him, but I did that, didn't I? See? Will you forgive me? I got to tell you something. I am so proud of this guy. He's a real prince. I love him. Man, I got to talk a whole bunch about how good he is now after that. But anyway. That's what thumos is. You know what? We as Christians got no business going there. You believe that? Amen? We're to be controlled by the Spirit of God, not by our own passions. Now the other word is the word orge. And it's another kind of anger. By the way, let me just say, I want to tell you about myself a little bit. My mother and my dad, my mom never had a problem with anger. She was steady, you know, rock, nothing bothered her very much. But my dad, that was another question. He lived a life of battling anger all his life. He was a good Christian. He loved the Lord. And so many times he'd have to come back and apologize for his anger. He did that so many times. I remember that. Now he had two kinds of anger. He had wrath and anger that we're talking about here. He had thumos and he had orge. Yeah, he had the explosive thing. I inherited, my other siblings, my other four siblings, they're more like their mother. I'm like my dad. I inherited that. And I've had to struggle with that. But he had thumos and he had orge, both. There were times he would be explosive in his anger. He always came back and apologized, but nonetheless, he had explosive anger. But then he also had orge, and that is when you don't say anything, maybe. Maybe there's just a frown. But there's something deep down inside of you that is taking place. And it's called orge, anger. We also know it as bitterness. And it just kind of settles in on you. You don't express it outwardly, but it takes its toll on you. Like at night, for example, you're trying to sleep, and that's all you can think about. And you're angry, maybe at this person, because of something they said to you, or something they did. No, you didn't explode at them, but you're angry. and you're just, it's all inside of you, and it's just eating you alive. And by the way, it'll kill you, that kind of anger. So that's orge. Both are condemned in Scripture. Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness and wrath, that's thumos, and anger, that's orge, and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. You might think that either one of those kinds of anger, you're getting by with it. But you will not get by with it. There's a price to pay. There's a price to pay with your own health. There's a price to pay with your relationships. If you have thumos anger, you live a trail like, it's like leaving a trail of dead bodies behind you. A lady one time came to Billy Sunday, and she tried to rationalize her angry outbursts, thumos. There's nothing wrong with losing my temper, she said. I blow up, then it's all over. I feel good. And Billy Sunday's reply was, so does a shotgun. And look at the damage it leaves behind. If you care about that other person at all, you cannot afford to do that. You will destroy that other person. You will destroy your relationship with that person just by one outburst of anger. All right, let's look at some New Testament principles concerning anger and wrath. What does the New Testament say? We've already looked at some things, but let's look over to Galatians chapter 5 and verses 19 through 21. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Those are the sexual sins. And then verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft. Those are what we call vertical sins. They sins against God, worshiping devil and demons and so on. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies. These are horizontal sins that have to do with our relationship with others. And so envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But right sandwiched right in the middle of that list is wrath. Wrath. You see that? Verse 20. Now what does that mean? That means it's a work of the flesh. That means every single time we blow up, we have a thumos, an explosion. Every time, it's a work of the flesh. It's a work of the flesh. Don't forget that. The most carnal church in the Bible, the church in Corinth, as we all know, is warned about this. In 2 Corinthians 12:2, it says, "For I fear lest when I come I shall find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you as such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults." So that was the nature of a carnal church. The Bible also tells us in the New Testament that we're to put this away. It's a work of the flesh, and that we're to put it away. Now, in Ephesians, we looked at this already, but in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, I'd like you to go back there again, if you would. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. I'll look at these verses some more. It tells us that we're to put it away. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And then it gives us the opposite of what we are to do, or what we're to substitute for our bitterness and wrath and anger and so on. And here is a list of the things we're to substitute for that. Be ye kind to one another. We're to substitute kindness for that. Then we're also to substitute tenderheartedness for that. And then we're also to substitute forgiving one another for that. So we're to put it away. Also in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. If you'll turn over there, Colossians 3, 5 through 10, it says, mortify, or put to death, that's what the word means, therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these. Here we are. Put them off. Put them away. Anger. Wrath. Anger being orge. Wrath being thumos. Malice. Blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds. We're to put off these things as Christians. The previous verses gives us a list of things that the unsaved do, but then we as Christians have a list that we're to put off also these things: anger, wrath, malice, and so on. In verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put off the wrath and anger, put on the new man. We're to cease from anger and forsake wrath. Now, the Old Testament also has a lot to say about this subject of anger and wrath. We'll look at a few verses in regard to that as well. So here's some Old Testament principles. First of all, how do we react to anger? Well, here's some ways, according to Proverbs, and most of them are in Proverbs, of reacting to anger, some right ways and some wrong ways. Here are some right ways. Proverbs 15, verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. So here, our first reaction should be to be under control, to have a controlled reaction. It takes, when somebody gets in your face, it takes a lot of control to keep from reacting back to them the same way they're talking to you. Is that right? I mean, isn't that difficult to do? It surely is. It takes a lot of control. But the Bible tells us here that a soft answer turneth away wrath. So the way we are to respond to somebody who is angry at us is to speak softly. I'm not very good at this. I'll admit it. I'm still working on this. David back now, he's an expert at it. I've watched David so many times when somebody gets in his face and he speaks softly, with a controlled voice, and anger just goes away. Okay. He's a good example of that. So we need to have a controlled reaction, a soft answer. A second thing is found in 15:18, Proverbs 15:18. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. So we need to have a slow reaction. Not only a controlled reaction, but a slow reaction. In other words, give it a little time. Don't flare up. I got to use another example. I got mad at Benjamin a while back. Remember that? Over the post? We have some 6x6 posts at the job there. Now, I didn't know all the facts. I'm making excuses for myself, okay? But anyway, Ben ran into one of those posts, knocked it over, broke it off. And that was a lot of, I mean, they go down in the ground, 4 feet or something like that, and the blacktop's all finished and everything's all done there, and boom, just breaks it off. Now what are we going to do, you know? Well, I saw that post laying there, and I kind of came unglued a little bit. I think it was more orge than thumos, I hope. But you know, David helped me out with that one. He told me the rest of the story. Yeah. He said, well, it was after dark, for one thing. And he just shot himself with a nail gun. And he was pretty upset. So if you shot yourself with a nail gun and it's after dark, and you're trying to turn your pickup around to go home, or you should have went to the hospital probably, but probably understandable that he ran into something. So, why in the world did I tell you that story? I don't even remember where I was going with this now. I know. But I should have had a slower reaction to that. That's where I'm going with it. And given David a chance to explain to me what happened before I reacted. See. Well, I hate preaching sermons where I got to preach about how bad I am all the time, you know? How come I can't preach a sermon about how good I am sometime, huh? Well, I'm still under construction, you know? I'm in the process of being conformed to the image of Christ. I'm not there yet, okay? Well, I want to be, though. I think about that song that Joanna sang a while ago. The love of God, wondrous love. He put up with a sinner like me. It's overwhelming. All right. What other kinds of reactions? Let's look at Proverbs 19:11. Or for 16:32 first. 16:32, and it's this under the same point there, slow reaction. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh his city. So react slowly to anger. Okay, then Proverbs 19:11, a deferred reaction. Not only should we react slowly and under control, but we might want to put our reaction off for a while. That's for counting to 10 helps, I guess. I don't know. Proverbs 19:11, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. He deferreth his anger, puts it off for a little while. Let's think about it for a while. And then let's look at some bad reactions to about anger. Okay. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9. Over a few pages. Ecclesiastes 7:9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. Okay, that goes along with a slow reaction. For anger resteth in the bosom of fools. It is foolish to get angry. It is foolish. And Proverbs 27:3 also. Proverbs 27:3. A stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. A fool's wrath is heavier than them both. And then there's also another wrong reaction, and that is the fact that it's to react with anger is a cruel reaction. Look at Proverbs 27:4. Proverbs 27:4. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous. And who is able to stand before envy? Also, anger and wrath are unproductive. You may think that you're going to get what you want by getting angry, but you will not. And if you do get what you want by being angry, it'll be very, very temporary. It will not be a good long-lasting result. Anger is unproductive. Proverbs 22:8. Proverbs 22:8. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. The rod of his anger shall fail. He's trying to accomplish something with the fury of his anger, you see, but it will fail. It is unproductive. It will not bring about good results. Couple of quick little illustrations. I'm going to be done here. A man was very irritated because there was something pounding. He was trying to sleep, and there was something pounding on the, I don't know, he didn't know where it was. Went outside, middle of the night, barefoot, pajamas on. Looked up at the roof, and there was a stupid woodpecker up there pecking on the TV antenna. I identify with that because every year we have a woodpecker that comes and pecks on our downspout. He does the same thing. And that really echoes good, you know. But anyway, this guy, he saw that woodpecker up there, and he was mad. He picked up a rock, and he threw it at the woodpecker. Of course, he missed. Went over the roof. Hit the car. And that made him so mad that he hit the car that he kicked a rock. He forgot he didn't have his shoes on. You see, the results of anger are not very productive. They won't really do much good. Then sometimes we think we're going to get the right performance out of our children, or maybe our wife or husband, by expressing anger. There was a man that won a loud voice contest. He was put up against a train for noise, and he was louder than the train, you know. So he won a prize for $750, loudest voice. It wasn't David Seeley, by the way. He kind of confessed afterwards. He said, well, probably the reason I was able to do that was because for years now I've been yelling at my kids, and I've developed a good loud voice yelling at my kids. Well, he might have got $750, but I don't think it turned out too good with his kids. Parents, don't yell at your kids. I wish I could turn the clock back. And for my older, out of 14 living children, probably the first half of them I yelled at them. Before I started figuring out that sin, the anger was a sin. Nobody told me it was a sin. I'm telling you today it is, so. And if you've got an anger problem, you need to get it right with God. And only through the power of the Holy Spirit can you get victory over that anger. But He can give you victory. If you're a Christian, if you know Christ as your Savior, there's the potential for the power for you to overcome that sin in your life. Yes, I have fought that sin most of my life. But by God's grace, at least to some degree, I'm getting victory over it. I hope that there's some witnesses here that might say that. Joshua. So, as the psalmist said, cease from anger and forsake wrath. It's so destructive, so damaging. I hope that we will lay that thing down and by God's power have get victory over in our lives. I want you to call your attention again back to our text verse. Verse 7 and 8, Psalm 37. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not myself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. You see, that previous verse 7, is a key verse to getting victory over our anger. First of all, we need to rest in the Lord. When something comes against us and gives us reason to be angry, we should rest in the Lord. You know, the Lord's in control, isn't He? Leave it with the Lord. Rest in the Lord. See? And secondly, we should wait patiently for the Lord. Let the Lord take care of it. Wait patiently for Him. And then thirdly, let's not fret about it. Let's not have that orge kind of anger where we fret and we stew and we just sleep with it and eat it and, oh, it just poisons us. Fret not thyself. And verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Now, Jesus said, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. You see, anger is just like any other sin. There's a price to pay for it. The wages of sin is death. And if you haven't been saved, if you haven't received Christ as your Savior, that anger is enough all by itself to send you to a devil's hell forever and ever. But you can be saved today, and you can be forgiven of that anger. God can take that away. He can wash that away as far as the east is from the west and give you a home in heaven and make you clean and pure like Jesus Himself. Amen? So the invitation is that if you're not saved, you can get saved today. That's the good news here. If you're not saved, if you don't know you're on your way to heaven, you can be saved today and be on your way to heaven. And for the rest of us, Christians, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would bless the teaching and preaching of your word now to each of our lives, and we might heed your Holy Spirit and what you're speaking to us about today. Bless the invitation time now, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.